Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Please grab a seat. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Allow me to extend my welcome to you. I feel like a bit of a visitor. It's been so long since I've been over here, but it's great to be able to share with you this morning and just to bring you God's word. So if you've been like me and you haven't been able to be here, can I encourage you to catch up on the messages that you've missed? Pastor Stan has just finished a series on redefining happiness. So you can go to our website, you can go to our app, you can go to YouTube, and you can catch up on those messages, and I encourage you to do that. There's some great teaching in amongst that, so please have a look at what has been said in that series. So we have Easter 1 week away. Who's excited? Yeah. And we should be excited as Christians, because as we move into this time of celebration, this is the very foundations of our faith. This is what Christianity is all about. And if the events of Easter hadn't occurred, then we'd have no point to be here, would we? So on Good Friday, we're going to reflect on that terrible death of Jesus. But the fact that he took my sin upon himself, he took our sins upon himself in order that he may make a way for us to be put back into right relationship with God. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to celebrate that he didn't stay dead. Amen. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, proving that he had conquered the power of sin and death. And that, my friends, if that hadn't occurred, again, we wouldn't be here. There'd be no reason to be here. But you know what? Today, there's some people hearing my voice who don't believe that. And that's actually okay. If you're here, thank you so much for coming. As Pastor Stan said, we know it can be very difficult to come into a place like this and to sit and listen to what is said and be involved in what is going on. But people don't believe that, and that's actually okay. My desire, our desire, is that you feel welcome here or you feel welcome online, and that you'll begin to ask the question, who is Jesus? What's that about? And I hope today that you're moved a little closer to him and that you see his truth. I have a friend that I would consider a gifted evangelist. There's many people that I've worked on for a period of time to bring them into a relationship with Jesus, and he's asked one question and they've committed their life to him, to Jesus, that is, not my friend. And he had this occasion I want to tell you about where he met this fellow. It was a pretty tough fellow. And this fellow wanted nothing to do with Christianity. He wanted nothing to do with faith. But my friend persevered and he invited this guy along to church. And this guy came to church. And at the end of the message, my friend challenged him and he said, mate, why not give your life to Jesus? We'll call the guy Bob, because I don't remember his name, sorry. And Bob said, mate, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the bad things that I've committed. And my friend said, mate, doesn't matter. Jesus can forgive you of all sins. And it went backwards and forwards for a bit. And eventually Bob said, okay, I'll do it, but there's something I've got to tell you first. I stole a car and it's in the car park. That's how Bob got to church that day, in a stolen car. And my mate said, that's okay. Jesus can forgive you, but there will be consequences. And the guy said, mate, I don't know if it's worth it then. I don't know if coming to Jesus is worth it. If I'm going to face going back to jail, then I doubt Jesus is enough. My friend said, Bob, we'll deal with that later, mate. But right now, will you submit to Jesus? And Bob struggled with that a little bit because of the consequences. And so my friend said, Bob, when it comes to Jesus, it's all or nothing. And he said, Bob, are you all in? Have you ever bargained with God? Have you ever prayed those prayers? Lord, if you do this, then I'll believe. Lord, if you do this, then I'll commit. And then, you know, we live this life following Jesus and we think, well, if I follow Jesus, Lord, if I'm coming to church, if I'm tithing correctly, if I'm doing everything you call me to, then my life's going to be fine, isn't it? Have you ever done that? You ever thought that? Here's Bob, literally 30 seconds into his relationship with Jesus, and he's questioning whether Jesus is enough. You see, he was on probation, so there's no way, if this crime was reported, that he would stay out of jail, but gave his life to Jesus. And really, Bob's question was, if I do this for you, Jesus, then why should I suffer? Why should there be consequences? I'm now yours. But that's not the way it works. But we think that in this context and in these situations, we think that God should be able to do something. There are some of you, there's some of us, my family included, who are going through a difficult period right now. Stuff is happening that we never dreamed would happen. It wasn't even on the horizon. And yet here we are in this struggle. How can this be God's plan? How can this be something that a loving, caring, compassionate God would do? Isn't he greater than all of this? Won't he fix this? Maybe you're struggling with the loss of a loved one. Maybe you have issues at work. Maybe you haven't been able to get a job and you fear for the future, you don't know what's coming. Maybe you've been unable to have children and when you look at your friends with their kids, it breaks your heart each and every time you see a child. Maybe you're praying for something specific and there seems to be this brass ceiling where God doesn't seem to hear you, or at the very least, he's not answering you. And you wonder if he even cares. Whatever it is, every one of us has suffered doubt at some time. And we wonder whether God and his ability or willingness to intercede is really true. And for some of you, that's happening right now. For many of us, it's happened in the past. And these doubts come when we're discouraged or disappointed with God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever asked the question, where is God? Where was he when I prayed for my loved one to be healed of cancer? Where was he when my child died? Why isn't he fixing my marriage? How could a loving God allow so much evil? And on a more basic level, why isn't he answering my prayers? Why is this Christian life so hard? What more do I have to do, God? What more do I have to sacrifice in order to win your favor and have you do what I want you to do? And I think these things, and perhaps a few other, lie at the heart of our doubts in God and his ability. Those doubts come because we're discouraged with God. We believe we've done all that we could possibly do, but then things are not going the way we think they should. What I love about the Bible is that it doesn't shy away from our humanity. It doesn't shy away from our weaknesses. God knows that we were going to struggle with doubt. He knew that we would struggle with trusting him 100%. And so there's a heap of examples in Scripture, and I could go over them. We could spend the day going over them, perhaps. So perhaps first and foremost, we need to know if you have doubted, if you've ever doubted, congratulations, you're in good company. What a love. I think, you know, if I was to ask for a show of hands as to who has doubted, there'd be a whole heap of hands go up in this auditorium. The vast majority should be raised and mine would be the first one raised. And I think most of us are like the father that is mentioned in Mark 9:24. You know, he's trying to get his son healed and he comes to Jesus and he says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I think we all want to believe, but there's just this barrier to trust God 100%. And this father's cry is echoed in so many of us today. I believe God, but my faith is weak. Lord, please, please do this for my child. Heal him and my faith will be strengthened. My faith will be grown. I'll follow you better. My doubts will cease. And even those with the greatest faith are sometimes caught by doubt. What is true for us and our doubts is true for John the Baptist and his doubts. Doubts come when a situation or circumstances change. I'll consider John the Baptist one of the champions of Scripture, one of the champions of the faith. And we read in Matthew 3, 1 and 2, "In those days John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" And John was the one who proclaimed Jesus' coming kingdom. He was the one who pointed Jesus out to his disciples and said he was the promised Messiah who would come and take away the sins of the world. It was John who said that as his and Jesus' ministry progressed, that Jesus must become greater and John must become lesser. And yet when that happened, John seemed to struggle. Let's have a look at what happened, because John asked the type of questions that we would possibly ask. Matthew 4, 12 and 13. "When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali." Now, John was in prison in Machaerus, and that was a fortified palace near the Dead Sea in the middle of the desert. And so when Jesus heard that John was put into prison in that place, he went to the seaside. It doesn't really paint Jesus in a good light here, does it? It's most likely that John was in prison for at least 6 months. It could have been up to 2 years. We don't have an exact time frame. But regardless, John is in prison. Jesus doesn't visit. He doesn't write. He doesn't send a food hamper. And John hears little bits and pieces coming back to him about what Jesus is doing. And for John, it doesn't seem to be too encouraging or too assuring. And he begins to wonder a few things. See, John had called out the sins of the people that came to him. He told them that they needed to repent. But it seems that Jesus is partying with similar sinners. And John knew what Scripture said about the promised Messiah. Can you imagine? John remembers this. "Good news to the poor." John says, "Yep, that's me." "Brokenhearted." "Yep, me again. I really don't know how I've ended up in prison. I was doing everything that God called me to do, and yet it hasn't worked out the way I thought it was going to happen." "Captive." "Yep, in prison. Pretty captive." "Opening of the prison to those who are bound." And John's like, "Me again? When are you going to do it, Jesus?" But nothing happens. Think back to when John was baptizing in the Jordan. We have the account in Matthew 3 where John sees Jesus coming down to be baptized. And John says, "Jesus, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus says, "Do it for now. It's right." And John relents and says, "Okay, I'll do it." Then John's standing in the water. The heavens open. A dove descends on Jesus. The Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove descends on Jesus. The voice comes from heaven. "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." It's an incredible time. And John has no doubt that the person standing before him is the promised Messiah. But now he's hearing this other stuff. And it doesn't seem to equate to the Messiah he thought was going to come and overthrow the Romans. And so he sends this message to Jesus in Matthew 11, 3. "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?" And this is a huge contrast to John's previous bold declarations of Jesus' true identity and who Jesus was, the long-awaited Messiah. It was John who foretold Jesus' coming. He proclaimed a message of repentance, a message that promised blessing to those who repented and were baptized. But he is not seeing that blessing in his personal experience. It seems more like he's been judged and condemned rather than blessed. And so he has questions. He has doubts. And he sends this message via his disciples. And Jesus doesn't appear to answer directly. Jesus says, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. If we haven't spent time studying God's word, we'll miss the significance of Jesus' answer in 11:5. In the Old Testament, there are a set of blessings which would indicate the arrival of the Messiah. And John's disciples returned to him with this message, 11:5. The blind receive sight, that's mentioned in Isaiah 29:18 and in Isaiah 35:5. The lame walk, that's Isaiah 35:6. The lepers are cleansed, Isaiah 53:4. The deaf hear, the deaf shall hear. That's Isaiah 29:18 and 19 and 35:5. The dead are raised, Isaiah 26:19. And you know what? The good is preached to the poor. That's Isaiah 61:1. And John knows all this, and Jesus points to it. He says, this is in Scripture. This is what is prophesied about. And I am fulfilling all these things. He is doing in his ministry what the Old Testament prophecies said that the Messiah would do. And Jesus knows John's aware of this, so there's this mild rebuke here as well. Jesus says, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. And John needed to hear this, and we need to hear it. We need to take this on board. This is a call to understand that we need to acknowledge or need to trust Jesus because we can't see the big picture. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. John was a little confused, and Jesus knew we would be too. He anticipated our confusion and our doubts. And he says that we are blessed when we don't get tripped up or fall away because Jesus doesn't act or do the things that we think he should do. His response or his non-response can cause us to doubt. His response or non-response may cause us to walk away from faith. His answers to prayer or non-answers to prayer may cause us to question his existence. But it doesn't change who Jesus is. Amen? He's in total control. He'll never leave us. And as difficult as life can be, we need to realize that the outworking of God's perfect plan is dependent upon his wisdom, his perfect timing, his choices. I want the blessing now as a believer. I don't want the struggles. I don't want the heartache. I don't want the pain. I don't want the suffering. I don't want to see those I love suffering either. But I'm called, and we are called, to trust Jesus in every situation. And John, just like us, has fallen into the trap of wanting to see, wanting to hear, and wanting to know and understand everything that is going on. But we, like him, are looking from a worldly perspective, listening and watching with our physical senses, when what God is doing can only be known and accepted in the spiritual, through the ears and eyes of faith. In the midst of John's struggles, do you think Jesus loved him? If we read on a superficial level, we may say no. But I believe he did. Jesus doesn't condemn John for his doubts. In fact, he goes on to commend John's character in Matthew 11:7. As John's disciples leave Jesus' presence, Jesus begins talking about John to the crowds, and he says, what kind of man did you go out into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? John was a man who stood upon his convictions. He was not swayed by others or their opinions. And yet Jesus left John in prison, one of his favorites, one that he valued, one that he loved. And although Jesus didn't intervene in John's immediate situation, we have to acknowledge that Jesus continued the work of God and his greater plan and purposes. And you know what? It seemed to be enough for John. we don't hear from John again. So where does that leave us? Let's circle back. Are you all in? As I said, some of you have doubts about the existence and identity of Jesus, but you're here. And I hope that as you've heard this message, and you've no doubt heard other messages about Jesus, if you're willing to believe what I say now, there's enough historical evidence to prove that Jesus walked this earth. You just need to ask yourself, is he who he claimed to be? Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior will not give you all the answers to life. I still have things that I ask him, and he chooses right now not to tell me. And that's frustrating. Let's return to Bob. Bob did decide he was all in. And he decided that the doubts and reservations and concerns that he had were minor compared to the very obvious reality of Jesus to him at that time. And he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior that morning. And I can tell you, things worked out in a miraculous way for Bob, but I can't tell you about that now. If you want to hear, come up. I'll tell you the rest of the story after the service. But if you're sitting here and sensing someone or something is drawing you to this place, someone or something has brought you here this morning, someone or something is challenging you to acknowledge Jesus, I want to tell you that's Jesus himself through power of Holy Spirit. That's him. Why not say yes to Jesus? And why not do that today? For the rest of us who are followers of Jesus, at all different times and places along that journey of faith, getting to know him more and more, how do we deal with our doubts? How do we overcome these things? How do we strengthen our faith? First and foremost, I want to challenge you, doubt your doubts, don't doubt Jesus. What a trite little saying. Are you proud of me? But it's true. John struggled with understanding what Jesus was doing. He struggled to know what was going on. But where did he go for help? Jesus. So even though he had questions, even though he was beginning to doubt, he saw that Jesus was the one who could give him the answers that he wanted. So I have no doubt, pun not intended, that John would have reflected on all he knew about Jesus, what happened at Jesus' baptism, the many miracles John was aware of that Jesus had done, and how that reflected the very fact he was Messiah, the Messiah that was mentioned in Scripture. And John would have stated that what occurred was only possible because of God, so Jesus must be the promised Messiah. And I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about when you first gave your life to Jesus, that first day you submitted. Do you remember? I do. Man, I was seriously messed up when I first gave my life to Jesus. But when I did that, this peace came over me. This comfort was there present with me at that time. And I knew Jesus had forgiven my sins. There was no doubt at all whatsoever. And I went from death to life. And if you want, that is the one miracle we all need. We need to understand that when we give our life to Jesus, we move from death to life. That, my friends, is a miracle. And it is enough. If that's the only miracle that I ever experienced, and I've seen many, but if that's the only miracle, it's enough. And we need to reflect on that. We need to remember that. When John's disciples came to Jesus, what did Jesus do? He told them specifically to report certain things that were happening in Jesus' ministry. And Jesus did that because those certain things pointed back to Scripture, Scripture that John would have known, Scripture that spoke about the promised Messiah, Scriptures that John was teaching himself. And so I believe we are called to read our Bibles and get to know Jesus. When we read our Bibles, getting to know Jesus, his plans and purposes are there before us. And we need to apply those things to our lives. We need to claim them for ourselves. And we need to realize, which is so evident in Scripture, that Jesus loves us even before we give our life to him. He loves us. He loved John. He loves me. He loves you. And he tells us he will never leave us or forsake us. Have you claimed that? He will never leave us nor forsake us, regardless of what you've done. He tells that he will send a comforter to us. And all we have to do is follow him. We don't need to explain the unexplainable in order to follow him. Doubts and questions are all part of the journey. You can bring them with you. Some doubts, he's going to address. Some questions, he's going to answer. But some he won't. It doesn't change who he is. Right now, some of you are placed in a situation you can't change. Somewhat like John. The reality I am living with is that I cannot and will not understand everything that's going on. But what I do know is that I can doubt my doubts and I can turn to Jesus. I can take my troubles, my burdens, and my doubts to him. I can and do cast them at the foot of the cross and trust God for the things I can't feel, can't see, can't understand. Jesus didn't take John out of prison. When I give my burdens to him, I'm not released. He doesn't take them away from me. But what's amazing in Scripture, we don't hear from John again. We simply have the account of his death in Matthew 14. So what I know is Jesus gave him the strength, the power to endure faithfully until the very end. So I'm not going to be released from my troubles. But Jesus has and will give me the power to endure. And he will do that for you as well. The choice is ours. Are we all in? Are we going to live with our worries, concerns, and doubts? Or are we going to choose freedom in Christ? Where the struggles may continue, where the heartache may keep coming, but we will walk through them with a peace, with a confidence, and with a strength which he is so ready to provide for us, even though it may not seem so at the time. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you first and foremost that you love me, that you love us. I want to thank you, Lord, that your plans and purposes are way beyond what I could ever possibly hope to understand. And Lord, I pray that you help me to rest in that. I pray, Lord, that you help me to trust you through all the heartache, through all the struggles, through all the problems that we face. I pray, Lord, that we'll realize that you're in the midst of that with us. And we may not see it at the time, Lord, but when we come through, we look back and we see your thumbprints all over our lives. I want to thank you so much for the many times you've done that for me. And Lord, there's people in this auditorium, people online who are still questioning, are you the Son of God? Father, will you break through? Will you allow them to ask you to reveal your truth to them? And Lord, may that happen. If there's anyone in the auditorium or online now, Lord, may you just challenge them to give their lives to you today. And Lord, for the rest of us, I don't know what's going on with everyone here, Lord, but you do. I just pray, Lord, that we'll be all in, that we'll realize this morning is that time when we can draw a line in the sand and we can say, Lord, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to deal with my doubts. And Lord, if needed, I pray those people will come forward, that we can pray for them, encourage them, because each and every one of us who'll be praying for them have gone through doubts and struggles ourselves. We are all part of that journey, Lord. And Father, my desire is each and every one of us will draw closer to you, even now, even as we sing this refrain, is because of you, Jesus. You rescued us. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen.